Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery. Still recording from How Design Live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have with me from Wichita, Bill Gardner. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me in. This is kind of fun. And, you know, such posh accommodations they've given you here. I mean, you've got the entire dancing girl thing over there, and over here you've got the huge stage with the massive stuffed bear. This is great.
Actually, the nice thing is they've been very gracious. Has been very gracious and given us a room. And you know, you're kind of, depending on what the conference center is, the convention center of where you're at, this room has the two things that are the most important to us. One is that it's actually quiet.
They put us on a wing. The corridor.
Like in Denver, they put us in a basement, so every now and then you hear a forklift because we're in the back room. Or they put you next to another speaker. And even though this room's too big, the sound's pretty good because it's got carpet, and you know the ceiling tile must have some sort of something.
Yeah.
But the other thing they gave us is it's in room 409, so it's easy to say.
Yeah.
And it's on them, and it's... And when you tell people where it is, they can find it. Like, this is an easy findable room.
You know, you got that product 409.
But also, it's easy to find, like location-wise. Like, sometimes you give these room numbers at a conference center.
Nobody knows where to find you.
I don't know what floor it is. I don't know what building it's in, and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is it's on the same floor as the registration. You just follow the numbers, and you're like, well, I'm going up. I must be getting there.
I suppose I can share it at this point, because by the time people hear this, I'll be out of here. But I pointed out to you, they gave me 409 over at the Marriott Marquis. And I thought the very same thing. I was kind of like, thank God they gave me a number I'm going to be able to remember.
It's important.
Yes. Yeah.
It's important. So let's talk.
Yes.
So I assume the new big news is Logo Lounge, and I saw the new beta website.
Yeah, and it's actually live.
It's live now.
Yep.
And now
with
the show, it's been live for for weeks.
Yeah.
But I was checking out. So is this the first huge redo of Logo Lounge?
Yeah, website, you know, we've had a couple of. Keep in mind, it started in 2001. For anybody who doesn't have any idea what Logo Lounge is.
In web years, that means I was like 3 years old.
You know, and, you know, we were so warmly embraced. We've never advertised from the beginning. It was highly adopted by the design community, and it's continued to be. And it's just a phenomenon. Sometimes you do something stupid and it really works. And this was one of them. The site itself is thousands of members around the world. It's an annual subscription. They submit their logos.
I believe you guys get about 20,000 logos submitted a year?
Yeah. You know, or more, depending on if it's a book year. And we do a book. I think book 9 just came out in December.
But you've also done specials. So
and
you've
we've
done
got,
like,
Yeah, we've done a master library series, or we're four in that, and we've done a textbook for logo design called Logo Creed, which came out about 2 years ago and it's done great. So, yeah, we've got a total of 14 books out there, not including all the other little editions.
Right.
So, you know, it takes up some time outside of Gardner Design, which is the real focus of my life. So, you know, it's fun.
I forget that you actually have another job.
Yeah.
Logo Lounge is kind of on the side. When people meet you, they're like, Logo Lounge isn't your job?
Yeah, yeah. It's another thing that I came up with to put my daughter through school.
Okay, well, hey, hopefully that's...
Something had to pay the bill in there, you know?
Yeah.
And, so the new site, after all these years and a couple of redesigns...
When was the last time you had a major redesign on Logo Lounge?
Oh, it's probably been at least 7 years ago.
You know?
So, and I mean, I'm so incredibly embarrassed. I'm going to go ahead and say this anyway, but we have not been responsive all this time. So,
well,
you know, just
fair,
now you can get onto it on any kind of mobile device, and it's massively...
To be fair, true responsiveness has only been around for...
It wasn't around 7 years ago when we redid it, but it's one of those things where people really needed to be able to get onto the site from mobile device. You know, and just take a look at this. You know, I think it was in 2013 that more than 50% of the access to anything on the internet was through a mobile device. You know, so if you're not talking there, then you're not talking anywhere.
Right. And so what was getting it responsive the main reason for this redesign, or was added some new features?
It was,
as well.
But there's a huge number of features.
Because that's one of the problems when you're redesigning your site is you're like, oh, now we want to add things.
Yeah.
And then it's not necessarily
exactly.
a redesign, but it's a rebuild.
And that's when, you know, it kind of starts dragging and dragging and dragging. And it was great to have the HOW conference as kind of a launch point to say, yeah, we've got to get this thing up and off. But that was the launch point. And, you know, so the site has close to 250,000 logos that have been submitted by the members, Sean Adams included, who happened to be sitting over here across the way. And, you know, at the time that we were developing, the whole idea is to give context to things. And, you know, if you took 250,000 logos and filled a room up with them, it would be of absolutely no value to you because there's no context. There's no way that you can really find what you're looking for in there.
No, it would be fun to look at once.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it would be. Like, you know, and there's a random search.
I'm never going back to that room.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so the site is just so highly indexed, which is what really removes it from any other site that's out there that you can search by keyword or industry or designer or location.
Lightning was one of the top keywords people search for.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And and things that people don't realize. Yeah, so we have this data behind the scenes. You know, keep in mind that we've got thousands and thousands of searches for identity. So we... In a way, it's kind of like forecasting, because if you're designing something, you're designing it for something that's going to launch in a year from now.
Right.
So we're looking in real time at what people are searching for now so that you can start to see shifts within industries statistically. You can see shifts in what people are looking for, which is part of what drives us towards our logo trends that we come up with, is actually having data that kind of backs up. You're right, lightning. The consistencies are trees, worlds, mountains, you know, certain letters. Or, you know, these things are always in there. But we're able to kind of micro look at the data so that we can see real marginal shifts that in reality are kind of big shifts, so that you start seeing people looking for food trucks or, you know, things that, you know, and this has been 4 years ago they started looking at food trucks. And,
yeah, because that's about when the food truck scene in like Omaha started taking off probably.
Exactly, exactly.
So, well, that's very interesting. Okay, yep. We're going to be right back with Bill Gardner. All right, so what's next for Logo Lounge? What are the new features we're talking about on this website?
Oh, you know, and again, it's just so incredibly highly.
And for those out there, it's logolounge.com.
Logolounge.com. And I don't want to suck up all the airtime with Logo Lounge, but I think the really amazing thing about it is just the context that it provides and your ability to be able to search the way you can. You know, so we've been doing the trend report, which we did yesterday here at the HAL conference, and it was incredibly well received. But, you know,
and this
that
is, I
thing,
think, the second year we've launched it live at the HAL conference.
Before,
you know, it's always been like like a GD USA.
Yeah, and you know, and that kind of hurts a little bit in a way, because we try to, you know, we call it a 2016 report, but it keeps kind of getting pushed back later and later in the year because we launched it, you know, in May here at HAL. But it's a great venue to launch it, and had a great reception. But the great thing about the trend report really is, you know, and I always tell people, when you look at this thing, this isn't telling you what to do. Matter of fact, don't do this. What you do is you look at it for the context so you can see trajectory of where design is going. And you can say, okay, I can get how this got to this point, so I can see the next step. I can see where that's going to. And this is something that we try and explain the process. And it's probably about, you know, every year that I get 10 or 15 people that contact me saying, I finally figured it out. I get what you're trying to put across with this, you know. The idea that if you see what happened last year and the year before that and the year before that, you now have enough information that you can see how this trend turned into this, and you can start to project forward
with your design. So since you're doing the trend report, what is your definition of when does something actually become a trend? Because somebody can do something that's amazing and everyone loves it, but if nobody copies it, it's not really a trend.
Yeah, you just nailed the really critical point about trends, and that's that nobody can start a trend. I'm going to say it again. Nobody can start a trend. But what you can do is you can create that seminal design that somebody else finds value in or that they decide to emulate. But okay, it's actually the person that emulates that that is the one that starts the trend. So you can decide, would I rather be the seminal design or would I be the one that wants to start the trend?
So the trendsetter is really just a follower.
You know, you could say that, but hey, we're designers.
Yeah.
And nobody's actually following. We're all evolving. You know, so hopefully the idea is you look at it and you go, God, you know, this is a great general concept. I can evolve it forward. You know, if it's a moving brand, you know, if it's an identity that's in motion in some fashion, you look at it and you draw from that. Okay, well, that's a trend. You know, we're moving towards moving brands. Is there a way that I can move that forward? Is there something I can do with that?
Now, there is a negative connotation with something being a trend, because
absolutely.
It kind of makes it sound like, oh, this is going to date quickly. What do you see as the positive attribute?
Yeah, you know, and so there's part of the handcuffed associated with the word trend. You know, it's easier, frankly, to say that a fad probably is something that's going to date quickly, but you got to keep in mind that there are trends that last decades. We're in the middle of people still designing with monoline design for logos.
Sure.
And it's not that there aren't some still incredibly beautiful designs being done using a monoline, but what you're finding is that they're slowly evolving forward, that people are adding new things on. You know, the very early monoline design started to pop up really around 2010, so we're about 6 years into it. And during that period of time, it started getting a little bit more embellished, that you started to find people doing things with it that started looking like crests or developing a geometric edge kind of wireframe things that were still monoline, but it kept kind of moving that trend forward. And this year we're seeing bars, which is this idea of taking monoline, but using the positive and negative space so that the negative space becomes monoline as well. Or one of the things we're doing is line dash as a trend, where designers are starting to take this monoline line, but they're turning some of them into dashes to create this kind of secondary hierarchy or a level of importance within something, or different tiers within something. So you start to look at any one design trend and it starts to evolve and fork off into these other things.
Now, since part of the Logo Lounge thing is to kind of, you know, lump these together, kind of show how the trends kind of are,
yeah,
and kind of create things.
Yeah.
How has, like, doing that work and collecting
that
these
process,
marks and doing this whole process?
It's nuts.
But how has it affected, like, your own personal design work?
Oh, a great question, because it ends up taking up about a month and a half of my day. By year,
geez.
I take that back. No, really. It's off and on. Obviously, I've got great people working at Gardner Design that are able to, you know, really continue our efforts there. And I don't just shut down during that period of time. But it's about a month and a half, because we literally go through every one of the logos, which sometimes is 20,000 logos, you know, that have been submitted in a year, that
right.
You've got to look at them one at a time. And I do look at them one at a time and basically take anything that has some nuance of something fresh and new that I haven't seen before, put it in a side folder, open these up, put them in big 100 logo squares, and then I play the world's largest match game. It's kind of like, okay, got this logo and that logo. I noticed this all, and this one too also has this little nuance, and this one has this, you know, and you start building these clusters. And the best part about this is I get to name them. So
right.
I sit there and I put little names by them just so that I can remember what I was thinking about, you know, as far as why these related to each other. And eventually you end up with...
Well, you also have to break down your report into, like, nice headlines, and so have a nice name.
Yeah, and that's really helpful. But you start breaking these clusters down, and we'll end up with close to 100 different, you know, potential clusters. And each year we only do 15 trends. So you've got to keep working those down, and we ultimately get about 30 of them. We go out to a field of other designers that are respected within the industry and say, hey, this is what we're looking at quietly. What, you know, give us a ranking. What do you think the most valuable are in here? And they give us their input back, and we play that back in the trend report and explain, you know, why these trends are working, you know, where they came from, what they grew out of.
So is that the part that you get out of it from your own personal design, is by seeing how things work and breaking down, like, the little minuscule items and elements?
Yeah.
Does that help you, like...
Isn't that incredibly OCD of me?
Yeah.
You know, it's... And it really is. I mean, it's fascinating to me. And you can tell that I get excited about working with identity design and designers. And
well, I think that's part of the reason when you say that you have the one idea that took off.
Yeah.
Whenever you talk to somebody who they have an idea that took off,
yeah.
they were passionate about it. So
absolutely.
The fact that you're very passionate about little details and about logos and about how things work together should not be shocking to anyone who's been to Logo Lounge. Like, like, it's the DNA of why you built it. It's the DNA of why it's been maintained. Like,
isn't that
things,
goofy?
These things all work together. So if you weren't passionate about it, you're like, oh, logos. Oh, I'm so tired of logos. My guess is you would have sold Logo Lounge. It'd be a property of some other company.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would have published one book, and then you'd be like...
We've had that offer. Yeah. No, you know, it really is. It is a passion with me. But the thing that I'm surprised at is the number of designers that are out there that are just equally, if not much more passionate than I am, about identity design. And it's something that, you know, if you're into... You're really into it, and you know, you can geek each other out on it really quick.
Yeah, and I tell you what, like the thing I find when they have the collective volumes, the thing I found real helpful with some of these logos, like collective volumes, because, you know, the bad rap is people like, oh, here's a collected volume, and I flip through it, and you know, you copy somebody else's work. And but I'm like, when you start flipping through it, because they're like curated and the logos are of a certain aesthetic and quality.
Oh, I'm glad
like
you used curated as a word. Go ahead.
Okay, but I've seen it where I've had some young designers that worked for me, and they get a nice, they create a beautiful mark.
Yeah.
And they've got some type next to it, yeah. And I'm like, it's all off. Like, yeah. There's something wrong with
yeah.
it. So I just pull out one of the books, and I'm like, like just start flipping through here. Not like looking at the logos themselves, but just like yeah. see like, because these logos are all actually pretty well done. Like the majority
yeah.
of them are.
Oh, yeah.
And just see the relationship and the size between the mark and how they lay the type next to it. And you start looking through a bunch of them, one after another.
You're selling it for me, man.
And it starts to click. And they're yeah. like, and then all of a sudden they get back on the computer, and about an hour later they print out, and it's like, oh, the type looks good next to the icon now. And they didn't copy anything.
No.
They just saw, they've like, been informed. Oh, this is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that
found,
really is what
I
it's
found
about.
Like that, and there's something about even the printed manual, it's just quicker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they can see it in front of them. They don't have to search 800
flip the pages. And hell, there's 2,000 logos in every one of those books. But those 2,000 are absolutely the cream of the crop, you know, from around the world. And the context is really the thing that makes a difference. I remember the
and
number
I'm like,
of,
and I'm like, in a lot of those yeah. things, it's like design is, a lot of the problems have been solved.
Yeah.
You start flipping through it, and you're like, well, that's how they solved it.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's it. And there's so many of those catalogs of logos over the year. And, of course, our books have case studies in them on, you know, interesting identities. And it kind of pulls back the curtain so you can see what was done behind the scenes. But the context that goes on in there, when Logo Lounge started, just the site, the whole thought was I had shelves full of, because I love books, I had
yeah.
shelves full of catalogs of logos. And if you were looking for a rabbit, you know, you wanted reference for a rabbit, you could spend the better part of, you know, a week post-it noting every page with a rabbit. But there was no context to a lot of those books. And that was the whole idea behind Logo Lounge, was, God, there's got to be a way that you can take these logos and type in rabbit
sure.
and, you know, be able to pull up 1,500 different rabbits if you want to, you know, knock those down to just the very best of, you know, 25 or 100 rabbits that you can look at for reference. And I love your thought on having your designers kind of take a look at the book, because, you know, I'll be honest. Can I say shit on your program, by the way?
Sure.
Okay. Those people that say that they don't look at other people's work, it's bullshit. But we have to.
Well, you can't walk down the street and not see 18 logos.
No. You know, and but there are those designers that, you know, are so full of it that they're, you know, no, I don't like to, you know, it all comes from within me. Well, yeah, but you've got to be informed, and you've got to see what is going on.
Well, you look
because
at it
the
this
public
way,
has to have
they,
relevance.
They say that the secret to being a good writer is to read a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing, right?
It is.
Like just because you're reading yeah. other people's words doesn't mean that you're stealing their thing. You
no.
just see how, like, sentences are built. So
no.
it's the same with design.
I, you know, from time to time I'll use the expression that it's better to know how you got there than to know where you are. And
okay.
and basically it's that anybody can look at some design that's been done and emulate it. Anybody can say, oh, I like that little cross line with, you know, something in each of the four quadrants that everybody was doing, you know, 5 years ago. And they can imitate it. But nobody realizes how that design came to that point. And unless you know where that came from, there's no way you can push it forward.
Right.
You know, you've got to see that trajectory that kind of is going on in there. So you've got to be informed. And you've got to look back at what was done, not only what's being done now, in order to kind of see that path forward, if you will.
Sure.
Don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to mention is our friend, superstar designer Drew Davies, registered trademark Andrew
mm-hmm.
Davies, Voxide. He mentioned, like, years ago that part of the reason he used Logo Lounge
oh.
was that it put, like, a timestamp on his logos
yeah.
a date. And so
I'm so glad you said that.
If somebody came up, like,
with that design,
like,
you could say, hey, I did it back in 2000, whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, and it's the only place that my company shows work that really wasn't published.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, because we have ideas, and it's like, well,
sure.
I guess if we have an idea that we kind of like, we can throw it out there. And in that case, it's got a date stamp to say that we did it 10 years ago.
I can't tell you the number of designers that have made good money off of that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's I'm going to give a little secret away here. Michael Vanderbilt, early on in the process of Logo Lounge.
Who Sean Adams, during commercial break, was telling us was a colonel or something?
Yeah, Colonel Michael Vanderbilt.
Kentucky colonel.
I love that.
Yeah.
But he pointed out that, you know, hey, when you put a logo onto Logo Lounge, it date stamps it. And keep in mind, it doesn't have to be one that was actually used. So much of what goes on the Logo Lounge is the good stuff that didn't get picked by the client.
Yeah.
You know, so there are any number of companies, ours included, that have basically, people have seen these logos, have knocked them off. But because it is date stamped, we've been able to basically, we've been made whole by those companies that have knocked them off, because we were able to prove it was in the public domain as of this date. We own that design. So if somebody knocks you off, you know, Logo Lounge is your proof that you were there.
No, that's great. Yeah. Okay, we're going to be right back with Bill Gardner. Well, first off, you've also got a, we got an email.
Yeah.
Somehow one of our logos is going to be in one of your Linda classes. Or
that's
something.
Cool. Yeah.
You probably don't even, I mean. You may not see the exact names of who did it when you're selecting.
I do.
So what is the Linda? You've done a few of these classes now.
Well, for those that aren't familiar with Lynda.com, it is probably one of the largest online educational resources
in
the world.
They've been around since.
Yeah. And LinkedIn has just recently purchased them. Still Lynda.com, but they've got tremendous resources. And Kristen Ellison, who's the content producer for them, brought me in here a few years ago. And there's any number of different authors here at the conference. Von Glitschka, Stefan Mumau.
And I think Justin. Von's even worn his 36-point shirt in a couple of his
talks. Yes, he has.
Thanks, Von.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Von. But so we've done a total of five courses now with Linda. And if you go to Lynda.com, you can just basically key in Bill Gardner and my stuff will come up.
And is it about identity design?
Yeah.
So
the first four courses are basically breaking down logo design into a different categories area. It's kind of like nature and identity design, the handmade process of identity design, shapes in identity design, logos developed out of symbols in identity design. So it really kind of breaks down this entire canon of visual matter that we end up integrating into our logo design ultimately. And the thing that we just finished up was the new trend report we ended up doing out there. And it came out amazing. I'd always kind of gone, really? You want to do a trend report on Linda? And it came out so beautifully. I think it's releasing like next week.
Okay. Is it the same as what you presented already kind of here at Howe?
It is, but with greater, it's more in depth. And this is where I involved your logo was in that particular course. There were a number of additional logos that we wanted to use to help support and reference some of the trends that were going on. And, you know, that's the great thing, again, about Logo Lounge.
Great. I'm a
the
trend
members.
Follower.
No,
I didn't even know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you're the one that is the shoulders that somebody's going to stand on to create the next best design.
Okay. No, Katie Joe at my office did that, Mark, and we're really happy with it. So.
Good.
And that was actually an unused one, too. So that was one of the few times where, you know, it's...
It was
the one, they picked one that was very similar, and they...
Yeah.
And so it was one of the... It would have been the only time we would have shown
Isn't that funny? And, you know, keep in mind that every designer out there knows this, that if you go into a client, and I'm not saying you want to present 10 logos every time, but if you go in with 10 logos, you got 9 losers.
Yeah,
you know.
Steve Hartman came through Omaha years ago, and he did a little like talk for AIG for some AIGA people, and it was a small like there's like a dozen people, and so it was a Q&A thing.
Yep.
And the thing he kept saying was, he's like, if you pitch 3 samples of anything, which is common in this field, it's not uncommon to have 3 different ideas.
Yep.
He goes, you're being rejected twice.
Yeah.
Even if they love it, you're still being rejected 66% of the time.
It's so true. And we also know as designers that, you know, it's not our say.
Yeah.
We do the best we can to sell the baby that we like the best, but in the end, the client gets to make the pick.
Yeah, and my advice to everyone is like you only show babies that you want out there.
That's true.
We don't have a show 3, we'll show you 2 to 5, and sometimes you show them 6, and sometimes you show them 1.
So it's that glowing child that didn't get picked that you're kind of going, oh man,
yeah.
I hope. Who would this be good for? Who else can we sell this to? You know, or you're thinking through that process, or else, you know. And that's the great thing about Logo Lounge is there's so much work that gets uploaded that isn't the actually selected work that you're able to see. And everybody wants, you know, think about it. Designers want to see the stuff that people didn't pick.
it's kind of like, God, I wonder what else they showed. I wonder if their process is the same as mine.
We want to say that they're not as smart. We would have picked a better one.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know?
All right, so what's the trend that came out this year that caught you by surprise? Or was there one where a certain look came out and you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming at all?
Because, you know,
since you're... Like, well, I mean, keep in mind,
one of the biggest things that's going on right now is this move towards austerity. And, you know, so I just report. I don't pick, you know.
Right.
So it's just that, you know, you and I had a conversation with Sean Adams a little bit ago about the Art Center new logo and the type becoming incredibly austere on that, as it obviously is. You know, it's a circle logo, which they've used for years. But you're seeing any number of identity designs that are moving towards highly geographic circles, moving towards corners and squares and things that, you know, may seem boring, but beautiful things are being done with them, and they're used in unique and unusual ways. Typography, we kind of refer to it as the Google Lenovo Verizon trend, which is that, you know, we've dropped any edifice of uniqueness, and we've gone over to this kind of Futura Dutch Helvetica kind of, you know, looking font in here to help identify us.
And I know for them, the reason isn't necessarily just visual, but it's like they're dealing with such small screens that they don't have...
That works, but keep in mind, you know, don't let the tail wag the dog, you know, anymore. So many of these companies, well, hell, Google, where does it live? On the screen. You know, what can you do with the screen? You can do anything with the screen, you know, so.
When you came through Omaha, and we were discussing this probably 8 years ago, I remember you showing, because, you know, we were taught in school, like, always showing black and white first, and everything's clean, and you just started showing logos where you're like, this logo is only online, it's only ever going to be online, if they print it, or this logo... You know, they're just going to print it four color regardless because printing's cheaper, digital printing and stuff. And so after that, we kind of were like, I was like, you know, it might be.
I was talking to a designer.
So I was like, if we have the color in mind, we just show them in color.
Yeah.
If we want to put more gradations in something, I don't worry about what it'll look like in black and white. I'm like, we can figure that out or just never print it in black and white.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the UPS logo that's going now. But,
oh, yeah, the golden film over.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that terminal. I haven't heard that. But, you know, the gradation and the glossy stuff that's going on in it, it's one of those things that, and it's no news, but the thing is if you think about how they used to apply a logo to, let's say, one of their trucks, and they've got huge fleets. It used to be hand-painted on there.
Right.
And, you know, before vinyl, and then, you know, vinyl came, and then printed vinyl, and it's kind of like, you know, there's nothing. I mean, AT&T, with their previous logo that had the, you know, the gradations and the see-through globe and the likes, and the UPS logo, it's nothing to print out a piece of vinyl that you can put on the side of the truck. It's cheaper to do that than to hire a sign painter.
Right.
So, you know, technology shifted, and we have to shift with it. You know, it's one of those things where
And so many of these companies, you print out business cards, and we want like 500 business cards, and you're like, you have 12 people working there, and they're like, yeah, we're all online.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So other things this year that kind of came out that hit us. Ombre, I think, was one of them, which is this idea of almost taking gradations, shifting them back to tonal shifts. So if you can imagine this series of bands of color that make a subtle gradation from one end to the other that you're starting to see. So it helps identify different layers within something, different edges. But it still gives you this transition that's kind of like sweet to sour, hot to cold, point A to point B within a logo, which is always something that people are trying to look for and see if they can't work into it. I'd mentioned circles, things
now,
like open table.
When people want to go look at the trend reports, do you send them to, is it just on Logo Lounge?
Matter of fact, if you go to logolounge.com, you'll always see a header in there that says trends. I think we'll probably have it posted on the front page here for at least the next month so that you can go in there and it'll just say trend report. By the way, all 14 years of trend reports are on there, so that you can sit there and historically kind of look at how these things have progressed.
And then like all trends, what were we thinking?
Yeah, no. Well, you know what?
But it's
so true.
Right.
But I don't, you know, I'm waiting for, you know, if I'm still in my ancient ages and doing this, everybody always told me that trends happen in 30-year cycles.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's quicker now because I think we're cycling through stuff so quick that we're
going
to run out.
So if you want to see what's going to come in another 16 years?
Yeah.
You look at that first trend report.
It's exactly that. I'm going to repackage that report. So, you know, it's a future kind of estimate of what we're going to be doing.
Okay. Well, thank Bill.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. We appreciate
Likewise.
It. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks.
The Reef Reflex Blues Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.